It's the most wonderful time of the year. But not for everyone. Santa has brought his sacks early this
Jeez,
year.
Yeah,
it's been
it.
An absolute madness of a game week. And we're here to cover it all. I mean, where do we begin?
Alan Sugar, you're fired, mate. It's one of those
mental.
Ones.
Bring it's back the apprentice. It's absolutely mental, but it has been coming.
Mm.
Who are we starting with first?
Wolves. Let's start with Wolves, because we are self-proclaimed Gary O'Neill fans, whereas
Big
we're
fan
not
of Gary O'Neill.
Russell Martin fans. So we'll start with...
Notoriously not a Russell Martin
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, so we'll start with our...
Lord and Saviour, Gary O'Neill.
And then we'll move on to Russell Martin.
Just to preface this, I'm happy that he's got Christmas off, because I think he deserves it.
Come on, he's a hard
he
worker.
He looks like a man who needs Christmas off.
And when you're dealing with these petulant little fucking children, like Cunha, Ryan Aignoury, Lamina... Probably fucking...
The rather... rest of them as well.
Oh, mate, yeah, the rest of them donuts.
I
but
mean,
yeah.
it is just pure embarrassment for the club, isn't it?
So and where did it all go wrong? Let's talk about it.
So they brought him in after Bournemouth got rid of him in favour of Andoni Iraola. And then he came in and they just went on this amazing run. And they were just such a good team to watch. They gave some top teams some really good games. And they were just a fun, exciting team. You're getting the best out of players. And then it started to... And last season was good. Mm. And I don't think many people would have had them predicted to be in a relegation battle this year.
No. God, no.
And we thought, well, he is the guy. He's sort of like the understated manager. He's not a flashy name. He's not a player who had like, a star-studded career winning Premier Leagues.
He was linked to the England job.
Well, that's what I was going to say, yeah. In the summer, Gareth Southgate leaves and Gary gets linked.
Bingo bongo.
And it wasn't like, he wasn't sort of one of the favourites, but I think it just went to show his pedigree that he's already been linked with the England job, having only really been a top tier manager for two seasons. And then this season, I don't know what happened, but Wolves just didn't kick on at all.
Well, let me tell you what happened. In the summer, they sold captain, centre-back, rock, even though he hasn't kicked on very much at West Ham, but Mats Kilman, big loss.
Yeah.
Also lost Pedro Neto. You could say, oh yeah, a bit injury prone, cash in, good money.
But he won you like 12 points a season just by himself.
Game changer of a player. And you see that like the recruitment's dip, like you're not spending as much as a club. So there's a little bit of wobbly times there. And then obviously going into the new season, a lot of new players, a lot of players that Gary O'Neill's come out in the media and said they're not ready for this level. A lot of youngsters aren't ready. So that hasn't helped. And then, very hard start to the season. We actually spoke about that. I think their beginning kind of run in the season was very hard. They had Arsenal,
they had Liverpool,
Man City.
They played all the big boys sort of in like the first sort of 10 games.
And then there was a little patch where they got a couple of good results.
Yeah, and but the positive like spin was that they're scoring every game.
Mm.
They're literally, I think they scored in like 10 out of their first 11 games, but they lost about 8 of them. And it was always that defensive issue. Like I think they got pumped by Chelsea, didn't they? Well, they can see like 6 to Chelsea. And they were leaking goals for fun. And then you look back and you think, well, Max Kilman's gone. Who they got centre-backs? Like Craig Dawson, mate.
Yeah.
Mental.
Well, I've got a note here. Some of the... So yeah, like you were saying, they've had some like pretty comical matches. They played Brentford, lost 5-3. Mm. Against Bournemouth, conceded a hat-trick of penalties. Against Everton, they conceded 4 set pieces. It's just, recipe for relegation. And then the straw that broke the camel's back, a 2-1 loss the other night against Ipswich, that's a relegation 6-pointer there.
After El Sacico as well.
Exactly that. So that's 4 defeats in a row for Wolves. Leaves them 4 points from safety.
Yeah.
It's not looking good, Brev.
I mean, the damning thing is that they have got a really talented squad. Actually, maybe that's a bit overzealous. I think they've got talented players. They've got a few real like shining stars. And I think Mateus Cunha is like the main man at the minute.
Yeah.
But when they're acting like that after games, the club is just gone.
Oh, mate, it's a mess. Like, it happens once, it's bad. Back-to-back games, different players. Like, you've stripped your captain of their captaincy. Your best players out there pulling glasses off random men.
Elbowing like stewards or something. What's wrong with you?
The dressing room's gone.
Who do you think
you
are?
Yeah.
What, you think because you're a Premier League footballer that you can just go throw like a blind elbows against like some 60-year-old bloke who just wants to protect people from getting hurt at football?
So tapped.
Pathetic. I hope he gets banned for a long time.
I think they're looking into that, aren't they?
Like, what's there to look into? He's elbowed a guy in the back of the head and he starts to take his glasses off. You know?
Glasses thing is so
do you know what I mean? It's mental. Yeah. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah,
because if that was a fan doing that to him, that fan would get locked up.
Mm. Facts.
If a fan ran on the pitch and elbowed Mateus Cunha in the back of the head, that fan would be in prison. We saw it in the...
Jack Grealish, I think.
The Jack Grealish incident.
Yeah.
The Birmingham fan came on the pitch. You get locked up. He'd get a stadium ban. Where's Mateus Cunha's stadium ban? Who does he think he is? Because he's a Premier League footballer. You just get away with it.
Baller, though.
He is a baller.
No, I'm joking.
And I will miss his fantastic fantasy Premier League points.
No. But... Yeah, he's tapped. And that's like... This is just like an indictment of the Wolves situation at the moment. You got players that... either think they're too big for the club or think that they're too big for a relegation scrap.
The club has very quickly turned sour.
Mm.
Very quickly. After what was being like a prosperous sort of last, you know, 5-6 years, since they come up from the Championship,
they've been
to Europe. Yeah. They've had some really top quality players come through the ranks. Ruben Neves, Diego Jota, you know.
Jimenez.
Yeah. They've had really, really good, fun, exciting times. And now I think just some bad recruitment, some bad eggs in the changing room has completely spoiled this.
Mm.
And maybe it's unfair on Gary O'Neill as a manager who's still fairly new to the management game.
Yeah, especially like
it's
new
difficult,
to like
you know?
Upper Premier League. Maybe jumped into Premier League too quickly.
But but we know he's a good manager. I think both his Bournemouth team and his Wolverhampton team have shown at times that they are really well set up, really well structured. Even against the top teams who are playing at their best, they still create chances.
Take him at QPR?
Not at the minute. If Marty went, I would have him 100%. But I still believe in Marty.
I love it.
Although Sheffield Wednesday are getting rid of their manager. Well,
it's the role guy, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we'll get on to that. Talk to me about... So Wolves have reacted pretty quickly to the sacking. Mm. Or them sacking. I'm sure they had someone in line anyway. And they do. Tell me about the replacement.
Yeah, I forgot his name already.
Vitor Pereira.
I think
it's his name.
Is that his name? Yeah, Vitor Pereira. Yeah, he's Portuguese. So they went with the tried, true and tested method. Surprised he didn't maybe go for Jose.
Or maybe the dressing room, they're all speaking Portuguese and Gary doesn't know what the fuck they're
doing.
It
could be a real thing that a lot of it's getting lost in translation.
Yeah.
Get up the pitch.
Yeah, probably is, to be fair. Yeah.
Football's meant to be the universal language, though.
One of these ones.
But yeah, he's a bit... I think he's a bit of a nut job.
I feel like...
He's a Portuguese manager, went to Brazilian League, played with Manchester Corinthians, did really well there, blatantly lied to the club, said, got to go back to Portugal, mate. Mother-in-law's ill. Mother-in-law is always a lie. 100%. Yeah. It's always a lie.
Because
you don't care about the mother-in-law.
Yeah, mother-in-law. He doesn't have one.
Yeah.
This guy's a shagger.
And then 10 days later, he was signed as Flamengo's head coach. So...
I rate the shithousery, to be
now
fair.
Now he's that's managing like Al Kebab.
Come on. That would be like Pep. Once the 115 charges get dropped and Man City go down to League 2, he goes Manchester United. That would be scenes. I'd rate him so highly for
my
that.
My mind is a retreat.
That'd
not
be
Man United.
That's so good.
That might kill him off.
Yeah, the scratches on his head would be fatal.
But yeah, I can't pretend that I have too much information about this guy. I think Everton were interested in him.
Yep.
I don't know. It's time will tell. I think what will stop Wolves getting relegated is the fact they have so much more quality in their squad compared to
pound for pound, they've got,
you know,
like
Southampton
European level players. Yeah, for sure,
night and day. And it will all be about how they recruit. I think now is, if you're going to get rid of a manager, now is a good time because you've got the January window coming up. You still got a few weeks to work with your manager, identify some key players, some key positions you need to sort of strengthen him, and we go from there. But I do feel for Gary O'Neill. I do feel for him, and I think it won't be long before we see him back in either a top tier Championship club or a Premier League job. I think he's actually a really, really robust and good manager.
Yeah, he speaks well, doesn't he, Gary, to be fair?
Yeah, I like him a lot, and he's a big QPR legend, so I hope he does well.
One thing I want to say about Wolves before we move on to Southampton. Here's a stat for you. I'll whack it on the screen.
Stat, man.
They've conceded 16 goals this season from set pieces. Next worst is Southampton with 8. So they're double the next worst.
Did Arsenal draw against Wolves?
No, we won 2-1.
Oh, yeah. Or 2-0. When Kai Havertz got like choke slammed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And a finger up the bum.
I swear it all went wrong.
Yeah. When you're hiring man to shove fingers up bums, your club's a weird place. But yeah, 16 goals from set pieces. We're only like fucking 12 games into the season.
It is mad.
That is actually nuts.
Maybe it is just defensive frailty, because I think they have conceded a lot of goals as well. Because it always seems like, I mean, it just that Bournemouth game was a prime example. It was like Bournemouth scored, Bournemouth scored, Wolves scored, Bournemouth scored, Wolves scored. And like, it's backwards and forwards. They're like just a shit version of Spurs. You know, like, Wolves games are always pretty entertaining because they can't defend, but they've got good attacking talent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a sticky one. I think they'll be fine.
Do you think?
I think they will.
Yeah, money on the line right now. Are they getting relegated?
No.
Yeah, I'd probably... It's weird that we think that, though. They're 4 points adrift. Like we said, getting a very unknown manager, kind of... Play the dressing room's in a bit of disarray.
These are the squads I think they're better players than.
Yeah, but better players doesn't always do
Ipswich,
that.
Ipswich, Leicester.
Maybe they're Everton. Lucky Southampton have also sacked their managers just now.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, Southampton.
But they're already above Southampton. Southampton isn't a thing that they need to try and overcome. They need to overcome the teams above them.
Yeah, I mean, they're actually 5 points adrift.
Oh.
Leicester on 14 points. Yeah, it's a sticky one. They have conceded 40 goals this season.
I do also agree. I think they'll be safe. But I think if you look into it, scratch a bit beneath the surface, maybe they won't.
But I think maybe they're just going sort of like all guns blazing. Like, this is either going to blow up in their faces, manager appointment, or it's going to be like a godsend. I think
a big jam,
fiery manager is kind of what you need.
Maybe if Cunha doesn't get a ban, they offload him in the January window for P. And
yeah, but who's going to want to sign him for, like,
what do you mean?
You say for P, but like what, like 60 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to do him anything, though. Like, who did they get in?
I know.
They sold Max Kilman for like 50. And did they bring in anyone really, like, notable?
True that. Right.
Their upcoming fixtures, though. They've got Leicester away, which is a big game. It's a six-pointer.
But Leicester are kind of on a high under Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, I mean, they got battered on by
Newcastle, yeah. We won't talk about that.
They've got Man United at home, Tottenham away, Forest, Newcastle, Chelsea, Arsenal, Villa,
so that bit,
Liverpool.
Yeah, all right, shut up.
I mean...
that bit at the end's hard. But if you beat Man United and Spurs, or get results against Man United and Spurs, who are capable...
It's doable.
Capable of losing those games... That would give you some good momentum going into the bigger games.
Yeah, then you've got Newcastle West at Jimson's Park. Difficult place to go.
Big L.
I think Arsenal and Liverpool failed to win there this year.
Years.
They've got Newcastle away, Chelsea away, Arsenal at home, Villa at home, Liverpool away, even Bournemouth away.
Yeah, that's rough.
It could be a very dodgy start for that new manager.
So maybe what happened is, and I don't know, I haven't got like all their fixtures and results up, but... He was given the leniency of the hard start to the season. And then...
Now they've got the second hard start, but that middle period...
That middle period where they should have got dubs, they haven't been getting dubs. Yeah. It's a problem.
I think, I mean, the Premier League is a competitive league and football's a fickle sport.
Yeah.
You're only as good as your last result. No one really cares what happened last year unless you've sort of won back-to-back-to-back titles.
That is a perfect segue. No one cares what happened last year. Russell Martin led Southampton to playoff glory last year, and now he's been sacked. Talk to me about Russell Martin.
I've said multiple times the man is a fraud. No, I'm just kidding. He's not a fraud. He's clearly a very talented manager.
He's not one of those that just talks well to the media.
Talks well to the media. He's like someone you'd bring home to your parents. He's a lovely lad. But
Shagger, I reckon.
His style of football is really, really good to watch. It's fantastic to watch if you're like Barcelona. 90% possession in the championship. You're going to do it anyway. You're Southampton. You had players levels above the championship.
That was exactly when I was thinking about it. I was like, he is just like this year's Vincent Kompany.
Potentially. And
just like a style of play that works with a dominant team in the championship.
But even at the championship, doesn't work. When he was a manager at Swansea, the same complaints came out over and over again. All the possession, No fucking product. Mm. Nothing at the end.
Is that a player problem though, or is that a him problem?
No, because it's persisted throughout his career. Mm. I think he was at MK Dons, I think. Same thing. Just constant possession. Possession, possession, possession football. Nothing happening at the top end of the pitch. Mm. And he is clearly a very talented manager. But his sort of naivety and lack of willingness to sort of change up in the Premier League
has cost him his job. Yeah.
And I think even in the last game against Spurs, where it wasn't really like individual errors that cost them.
We'll talk about the individual errors.
It was just pathetic defending, pathetic like football from them.
Yeah.
In games gone by, where they've actually been in it, like I think against Man City, it was individual errors that cost them. And it's been a constant theme. And it's just this, is it stubbornness or is it naivety? Where he just says, right, maybe let's take the pressure off the centre-backs. They clearly can't do it. Let's adapt to the style of football. Let's play to our strong points. Oh, we've got, you know, fast forwards. Let's get that on there. Oh, we have like some quite talented wide players. Maybe let's utilise them.
Yeah.
But when you're constantly losing the ball outside the edge of your box, you're going to ask for trouble. And in the Premier League, you get punished.
Yeah, it's mental that like they knew their goalkeepers weren't good enough to do the passing out from the back. That's why they signed Ramsdale. Ramsdale's injured now, and you're using your two backup goalkeepers and still trying to do that passing out from the back when they're not good enough to do it, hence why you signed Ramsdale. Change your system. Southampton.
But even when Ramsdale was playing, the team wasn't good enough to do it.
Oh, yeah, still bad. But like you can see like the kind of foundations are there. You're getting a keeper that can do it. You're starting to like... You'll probably like if you solidify yourself in the Prem, you'll get centre backs in that can do it.
I mean, Taylor Harwood-Bellis, I think, is an outstanding centre back.
Yeah.
And very capable. Mm. But he's still young.
Yeah.
And you're asking a lot of him.
I'll hit you with some stats. So Southampton have made more errors leading to shots, 27, and more errors leading to goals, 11, than any other team in the Premier League this season. So, like, exactly like you say, they're masters of their own downfall here. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Russell Martin. It might be a style of play thing. The players might not be firing at this level. But when you're shooting yourself in the foot as often as this, you're starting a 100-metre race from 100 metres behind.
Oh, 100%.
And you take that to the bank.
I mean, I think a lot of the reaction to this from Southampton fans has been sort of like, well, he probably had to go, but I don't think it's going to get better.
Mm.
Who the fuck wants to take that Southampton job? Because, mate, that is an almost certain relegation.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's like, and I think I said this about, I can't remember who, but last year. It's like, it depends what remit the board are giving to this new manager. If this new manager comes in and they're like, we know we're going down. Prepare this squad for next season in the champ. People might want to take that job. Gary Neil might want to take that job. But if they're hired and they're like, your job is to keep us up. That's a hard job.
I think, that's pretty much it. If you're saying to someone, your job is to keep us up, you've got to get someone either from a foreign league because they might not be as clued into
or someone with Premier League quality.
Sam Allardyce.
I was going to say Graham Potter if they can do it.
Mate, he would not touch that with a wizarding wand.
Jeez.
He would never go near it.
But yeah, I think a lot of people won't if the remit is
Moyes,
keep us up.
I've seen links. That man has enough sense in his head to stay away.
Well, that's it. If the remit is, keep us up. You've got to be tapped in the head to think you can keep
Graham
the lot
Potter
up.
And David Moyes are smart enough to know that that's almost an impossible task. Well,
that's what I'm saying. You've got to be tapped in the head.
So are they willing to be Premiership managers for a season?
Yeah, that's the thing. You've got to be tapped in the head.
So I think for them, it's like maybe a sort of like Luton job. You know,
that's exactly what I must have been talking about. I can't remember. Well, I think, who is this Roll guy that linked?
Danny Roll. So... last season, when QPR, Sheffield Wednesday were all struggling around the bottom.
He kept them up last day of the season.
Yeah, well, Sheffield Wednesday were really struggling.
Yeah.
And QPR signed Mike Sifuentes, Danny Roll went to Sheffield Wednesday, and both teams went on like a crazy run at the end of the season. QPR were clear by like
come on
game week 35.
And thought you were going to bloody win the league the next season.
Soon come.
Come on.
But Danny Roll did a real good job. Really good job. And he's carried it on this year where QPR sort of stumbled.
I saw he had quite a good track record as well. Not like managerial level, but I think he was assistant coach at Bayern. I think he's been in the German FA.
Oh, he's a manager with a real pedigree. He's almost like a sort of semi-successful Michael Beale. lots of pedigree. He's been there, done it.
I think he worked with Hassan Huttle as well at some point.
Who was a former
Southampton manager, I think could be interesting.
I think maybe that would be a smart choice. Southampton's a step up from Sheffield United. Even if they get relegated, then they've got a really good Championship manager there who's going to have good players at his disposal.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a look to build on. Whereas before, when they fucking sacked off, can't remember who it was, and got in Nathan Jones, that's almost, you know...
That wasn't Hassan Huttle, was it?
No, Hassan Huttle was... Because they sacked someone. They sacked Hassan Huttle, got someone in, went terribly, and then they got Nathan Jones, I think.
Hmm. But yeah, I don't know. For me, Southampton, like I was saying earlier, I hate to break it to you, it's doom and gloom. I don't think you're staying up. So you need to hope the board realise that that is the situation and get a manager that is good at squad building in the champ, because I think you've got players in this team that could end up moving on.
Do you know what? It was Hassan Huttle. And then they got in current Hull City manager, Ruben Sellers.
Oh, yeah. I remember him. He wasn't
then Nathan Jones, and then Sellers, and then Russell Martin.
But yeah, I think it's a poison chalice if you're going into this thinking, we've got to stay in this league. I'm thinking Wolves won't be able to, and Wolves have got better players all over the park than Southampton.
Mate, this is going to be...
So it could be techie.
It's going to be a rough second half of the season.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he gets better. No. I really don't. And I think Russell Martin will probably find himself another Championship job. Hmm. And then we might be here in a few years where...
back again.
Yeah. People say he's a couple of years older, a couple of years smarter. And hopefully he's developed from this experience. Hmm. I think he's a really talented manager.
Yeah.
And there's clearly a great footballing brain there. Maybe he just needs to sort of learn the ropes, you know. Maybe just have a couple of knockdowns.
Hmm. It's just like, start learning that maybe plan Bs are necessary.
There's some things you in life.
You need it at the top end as well. Like Arteta was kind of labelled with doesn't have a plan B. And over the years, he's kind of developed a plan B. And we'll talk about him.
Well, yeah. And but even Pep Guardiola.
You need that in your arsenal.
There are some things in life you can only learn through experience.
And, exactly.
You know, good luck to Russell Martin. I hope as well.
I was going
to
say something. I completely forgot what I was going to say. Now, well.
What we got next on the agenda, boy?
Right, two managers that haven't been sacked, but have got to be next on the pipeline, surely. Mikel Arteta and Pep Guardiola. I'm not condoning either of them being next on the pipeline, but we're here to discuss.
Hold up. What if Southampton just do what they've done before and take Luton's manager and get Rob Edwards? Is that a mad shout?
Is that him failing upwards? Maybe that's like...
Because they're struggling
as
well.
I was going to say, they look rough. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, carry on.
But yeah, Pep and Arteta, I will preface this all by saying I'm not Arteta out, but you can be... Oh, this is what I was going to say. Do you know the meme where it's like, just put the fries in the bag, bro? Yeah. I saw a tweet and it was like someone tagging Southampton and it was like, just put Tyler Dibbling in the bag, bro, and go back to the Championship. And I was like, yes. Get that kid a big move and then baller, fuck off. But yeah, Arteta and Pep.
You're not Arteta out.
I'm not Arteta out, but I am...
waning.
Not even waning, but I'm just... There is clear problems and I am here to criticise.
Yeah. I think everything's just amplified by the fact that the league is so there for the taking this year.
And it stinks that we're not taking it.
It's just the worst time to sort of like have that hiccup.
So, back-to-back draws, back-to-back snooze fests. If you
haven't scored a goal from open play.
Yeah, if you ignore the Champions League in the middle, which kind of papered over some cracks. The result away against Fulham, you kind of take it or leave it. You saw Liverpool struggled there this weekend. So, it's not...
I mean, was Andy Robbo's thing a record? Because...
Oh, he like... Hey,
the ball is like... It's not even going forward. The ball's going like sideways. It's a scuff like...
And the striker takes a shot, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Jimenez has a shot on goal.
Yeah.
And then because of the rules of the game, they went back to the initial foul.
Yeah.
Even though Jimenez had a goal scoring opportunity.
No, it wasn't.
So what was he denying?
Yeah. Fuck knows.
Mate, stupid.
But yeah. Anyway,
Liverpool dropping points.
Liverpool dropped points at Fulham. So that in isolation, I don't think is that bad a result. We didn't play great, but games like that happen. Everton at home...
Got to be winning.
Got to be winning. And both games after, Arteta comes out and says, we dominated the game. I think in the Fulham game, they had like one shot on goal when it's the one they scored. In the Everton game, they had no shots on goal. And he's like, we did everything to win the game. That's all well and good. Dominate the game. But if you're... the style of play is so fixated on dominating all facets of the game defensively, you're sucking out the offensive, kind of.
You're just losing that spot. You can't rely on Bukayo Saka or Odegaard to have a bit of magic in a game.
It's literally Saka or set pieces.
And
it's normally Saka on set pieces.
Before, you guys were so fluid. You were scoring four. You were sending teams home at like the 30th minute.
And so it's like, where is this coming from? Where some games we're unbelievably fluid, moist, dripping wet, making, like you said, making teams leave in 30 minutes. And then some games we are so dry.
Maybe injuries have a part to play.
Because people said when we had no Odegaard, that was the missing piece. And then he came back in, we had a couple of good games, on fire a couple of games, like that West Ham one. Mm. And now it's dried out again.
Yeah, I think you're not as good as you were last year.
Yeah, I think we're definitely, like, a few players are definitely level, not even a level below, like multiple levels below. Like, so Martinelli,
I think
Havertz has dropped a little bit.
Ben White being out for Trossard. A period of time isn't great, because he's such a solid player for you. Him and Bukayo Saka have such a good partnership.
Yeah, yeah.
Calafiori being out, not having like a real designated left back, being makeshift. Gabriel missing a couple games here and there. You're playing Partey in this like makeshift right back role. Mm. Don't like that. And then like you don't know who your best midfield is.
Yeah.
You don't know where Declan Rice's best position is. Is Declan Rice better in the eight or is he better in the six? Yeah.
Does Martin Odegaard play on that?
He's been asked to do everything. He has to set the whole tempo for the game.
Yeah.
There was part points where you're better playing with Jorginho in the midfield with Rice.
Oh, well, he played in that West Ham game, and that's why.
And so, because it just takes that little bit of that tempo setting off Odegaard and allows him to maybe actually play a little bit higher at the pitch and drop into the pockets, because Jorginho can find the pass. Going forward, that your front line stinks.
Yeah,
Saka is like, you know that meme of like the three-headed dog or the dragon? It's like, Bukayo Saka is like serious and then the other two.
Dingbats.
I mean, Gabriel Jesus, I've seen people call him a terrorist. That's out of order.
My favourite like meme of him is like a picture of Alex Lacazette and it's just Jesus' face on there.
Martinelli, I hate to see it, but
you see Thierry Henry's piece on Martinelli on Monday Night Football the other night. So he's saying that like Martinelli's best asset is his pace. But they showed like three clips in the Everton game where like he has a defender one-on-one and then just recycles the ball. And he's just lost that kind of instinct. And is that coming from Arteta?
Yeah.
Is that coming from him? Is it coming from injuries? I
mean, we know that Pep coaches that. Out of place.
So maybe Arteta's
maybe that is part and parcel of it. Because I refuse to believe that after like one injury, he's like lost all ability to take anyone on.
And I love Martinelli. But if he refuses to take people on, he doesn't offer anything.
No, he doesn't have that build-up. He doesn't have that, like, sort of ability to interplay. Like, his game was beat people, just direct attacking. The seasons where he's putting up, like, double figures.
Where he, like, burst on the scene and he was just... I feel like every week he was just cooking Trent for some reason.
But, yeah, and he couldn't even cook Ashley Young.
No, mate, literally, exactly.
Mental. And, yeah, and then I don't know what's, like, Havertz, Gabriel Jesus, like... It's time again. You call for a striker.
Yeah,
Havertz went on like a really decent run where I think he was like one of the top form. Like,
I'm
strikers.
So unsure on Havertz. Like the other week on the pod, I said he was third best striker in the Prem. I got cooked on TikTok for saying that.
Mate, that's nuts.
But some weeks I'm like, this guy, his football IQ is better than most strikers. But other weeks I'm like, this guy just isn't a striker,
so,
maybe.
Like,
I don't understand
him. He's such a confidence player.
I don't understand
him. If you have a couple rocky gate, like, if your ship is sinking, you do not want him in your team, in your boat.
Yeah.
Because instead of plugging the holes, he's going to be just freaking out.
Mm.
That's what I see on the pitch.
I think we need to get back to days where we have just like a killer up top, like Giroud. Thierry or Giroud, but also Bentley. He had like no killer instinct. He was at Arsenal, we had none for some reason. And then
have you actually had any good strikers since?
Van Persie, Dennis. Back those days where, like, Bagsman. Even Sanchez. Like, give me that guy.
Yeah.
But we need... At the moment, we've only got Saka. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it, you can't rely on this guy to just do everything.
Yeah, my baby boy is getting cooked out here.
I think he's going to just burn out.
He's going to end up at Real Madrid.
An
I'm going to be so sad.
To him.
Yeah. Oh, season's dead.
Right off.
Lucky he's a robust boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, if he gets injured, we're in trouble.
James is going to be breaking into Saka's house trying to figure out what he's eating.
Yeah, literally. Oh, talk about eating something that might make you invincible robust. Or robust. Mudrick's under investigation for illegal doping.
Mate.
Which is mental.
Taking performance enhancing drugs and not getting any heart enhanced performance is mad. And then getting done for it.
That is
so
mental.
Class.
That is mental. All right. Maybe he's like one of those where he just fucking like took a Viagra.
Don't he have like a tattoo that says like hard work beats talent and he's just taking there taking drugs?
Come on. Free my guy.
Man's up on the Pez. So
yeah,
hard.
Free my guy. Right.
Peden Hazard. Because like peds performance enhancing drugs.
I thought you meant like peed in a jar.
That's quite good. Yeah.
Fart knows what's going on. This will go on more board draw on TikTok, not actual board draw on TikTok. Right, anyway, up to Manchester. Pep Guardiola losing 2-1 in a home Manchester derby. So I think they've lost Manchester derbies, but I don't think they've lost a home one in like a long time.
Manchester United have a sort of become Man City's bogey team. They beat him in the FA Cup.
I'm absolutely here for it.
I mean, Ten Hag and Amorim have both beaten Man City. When have Arsenal done that?
Community Shield. Do you see Arteta that counts as trophies? God knows what's going on. But yeah, let's talk about Pep Guardiola.
The Carabao Cup could be a springboard to other trophies. Brother, you got to win it first.
Yeah. Pep Guardiola, yeah. I think...
Oh, mate.
What,
he just looks...
Like 10, 11 losses in a row?
Oh, you can't tell me it's 11 in a row.
No, not in a row.
It might be
but
like one win in 11.
Yeah, that
but
might
it
be
is.
It stinks.
Does it not make you feel like unsettled? Like the equilibrium is just off.
I was going to say the equilibrium is coming back.
Yeah, but that's like we've just dealt with this like status quo like for so long.
Yeah.
And now that things have like shifting, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know where my head is.
What the future looks like.
And Pep is suffering. And it's so weird to see such a giant of the game just have no answers.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you think if anyone has answers, it's Pep Guardiola. But
and if you even think for a minute that sacking Pep is the answer.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely
How do you replace the best manager in the world? Maybe the best manager in the history of the game.
Yeah, because this isn't even the grass isn't always greener. This is like...
The grass is almost certainly...
The grass cannot be greener.
Yeah.
Then what? 6 Premier Leagues in 7 years, a Champions League.
A treble.
The grass cannot be greener. So
everyone else's grass is a bit yellowy.
Yeah.
And in Man City's like front lawn, it's just crisp, pristine green.
That's the best grass you'll ever taste, mate.
Mate, that's what 115 charges can buy you.
Come on.
But
why is it... Well, we've kind of discussed...
The game was just shit.
Man City just looked...
I mean, both teams looked fucking
Yeah, but Man United, we know
it. But
shit.
Man United were just... They just stuck to their task. They knew that they weren't going to have all the ball.
Yeah.
And they... Sort of... Their remit was, well, if we could get at their wing-backs, we can get in behind.
Yeah.
And they did.
They've just got so many players that, like... Man City, like we were talking about Arsenal, that are like playing below their level. Man City have got like the same.
I think there was a point where they actually started to like get a bit of a stranglehold in the game, and it was still at 1-0.
Yeah,
and like City started to sort of rise in the ascendancy again, and then they brought Kovacic on and just lost all momentum.
Mm.
Like, I don't know what. Every time he gets the ball, he's just like, it just takes a sting out of everything.
Yeah.
He's a bit of like a wet white midfielder.
I don't know. Sometimes I think he's techie, and then
he's big, and occasionally he has like a nice first touch.
Yeah.
And he like runs with the ball and plays it, and you're like, oh, that's the kind of guy we want.
Yeah.
But I think he's just so ineffective. Their team is just soft.
Well, that's the thing. They've just got so many players that like you used to think of Man City and be like scared, world class ballers everywhere.
It was like do your Premier League best 11, and it was like nine Man City players.
Now, genuinely, they've just got dons that I wouldn't even bat an eyelid. If I was another Premier League club and I saw that I was coming up against Savinho or Doku, I'd just be like, these guys are wet.
Yeah. But that's because they're training against Carl Walker, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't have to have any standards.
Like, they used to have Sterling, killer.
I saw someone
Leroy Sané.
I saw someone say Arsenal have got Sterling on like a free loan. They're only paying like 10% of his wages and they're still getting robbed.
Yeah, facts.
But yeah.
And he said he wants to stay past Jan. He's played like 10 minutes. And
he's like Mahrez.
Yeah, Mahrez.
Down to Savinho and Doku, like the biggest downgrade. I think Doku, it might be the most overlooked.
Mate, he is crap. Like, I knew the moment he came in that his style of play just doesn't translate to the Prem.
Yeah.
Especially a Pep team.
Like, just, there is no one in that team. Even Haaland is just a shell.
Oh, mate, levels have dropped massively. Like, we know Kyle Walker's pants. But, like, defenders like Ruben Diaz, stupid tackle to give away the pen for Man United. Vardiol is solid. Yeah, exactly. Vardiol's solid. But, like, Akanji and Ake, we thought they were, like,
World class.
Why are these dudes like fucking... How do they snap up Akanji for 15 million?
Yeah.
Now he's looking like a 15 million pound player. Ake, what's happened to him? He was best right back, centre back and left back in the league last season.
Mate, Edison. He's just falling off a
Edison.
Cliff.
Phil Foden. I speak about him every single week. Kid is a waste of space.
You see players like fall off and they drift in and out of form. But the whole team has just fucking... They were flying at like 30,000 feet and they are very, very quickly crashing to the ground. It's completely shambolic what you're watching.
Do you know at the beginning of The Dark Knight Rises where Bane's on the plane and he's like, they need one of us in the wreckage, brother. That's what I feel about Phil Foden. Just leave that guy in the wreckage of this fucking disaster and move on.
This time last season, if you had said that Man City need open heart surgery, I would have said you're laughing.
Yeah.
But now, there could be a serious need
ugly.
For a massive overhaul.
It's mental that we're sat here saying, so the two teams that were clear last season, the two teams that have been clear the last two seasons, both managers and teams need to take a long, hard look at themselves.
It's mental.
That's the beauty of the Premier League, man.
I am enjoying it. I'm just a bit, so I just don't know where my head is, mate. I don't know what to think anymore. Every weekend, I'm getting thrown a surprise here and there. Sometimes you want some stability, you know?
Come on.
Just a little bit of stability.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. It's just... And Chelsea might win the league.
I think that's the worst part of all. If it's Liverpool, I'm kind of like annoyed, but it's like funny because they laud Jurgen Klopp as this fucking GOAT manager. Slot's come in and done it in one season, mate. Yeah. Chill out. Anyway, no segments this week because...
fuck the segments because it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. I'm off. Everyone's off. We'll be back when I can be asked to organise some segments.
Yeah, 100%.
Allow me, man.
But
sometimes I forget.
Head on over to Classic Football Shirts using our link in the description. It'll take you straight to the website. You don't have to do anything. We've done all the work for you. All you got to do is click on there and shop for some nice, sexy football shirts for you, your friends, your family, your girlfriend, your nan, your dog, whoever it be. Use the code BoardGeorge10 at checkout and you can save yourself a nice little 10% off right before the holidays. And I do believe if you order now, you may get it in time for Christmas. So
that's what they say.
You can do it today. But yeah, it's been Board Draw. This has been episode 118, the El Shakiko. And it's live.
Yeah, but.